2 Kings chapter 5, we started last week looking at, entitled it, A Double Portion. And I hope that you're asking God for a double portion in your life. And you say, of what? Well, I don't know. It's good just to ask Him and then see what happens. No joke, last week I said I went to that fine, beautiful establishment called Krispy Kreme. You wouldn't believe I went back there yesterday again. I didn't even mean to go back. I was driving by, and the kids said, all of a sudden, we looked over, saw the sign, and said, can we get donuts? And I said, I fought it. And I said, no. And then I said, yeah, sure. And I turned around and went back. And again, the gal in there, she's starting to get to know me. And she said, you want just one dozen? And, you know, when I said, I guess, yeah, give me two dozen. Yeah, you got me. And sure enough, I got two dozen. We got about halfway through them already last night. Talking about a double portion today, we're coming down to Thanksgiving, and we're going to be asking for a double portion at some point. But 2 Kings chapter 5, we started out last week and we began looking at this man by the name of Elisha and how that he went and did some tremendous work and exploits for the Lord, didn't he? And how he started out and he said, and Elijah said what? What do you want before I'm taken off of this earth? And Elisha says what? I want women, riches. Does he say? No. What's he say? I want a double portion of your spirit. I want more. I want to do more for the Lord. And oh, what a generation behind us if they would stand up and say what? I want a double portion of what you have, Dad. I want more of the Holy Spirit in our home. I want to raise kids double than what you did, Dad and Mom. Oh, we need that. Now notice chapter 5. We come to a story, very familiar story, I hope, to you. One of the big things that Elisha did, it says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. Notice this in your Bible, but he was a leper. And it doesn't matter how many accolades, how many medals you have on your chest, and how many degrees you have on your wall in your office, all of us are still sinners. And for the person that boasts in that, well, I have this, no, no, no. Do you see what it said? Naaman was mighty, had all these things, and then it says he was a leper, you know. And you think about that. Now, verse number 2, notice, the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, with the prophet that is in Samaria, so she already knows about him, for he would recover him of his leprosy. One went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes. Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. It was so when Elisha the son of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. He shall now and shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. We'll stop there for a minute. But you see this? He comes now, and I want you to notice this with me. A double portion is asked for, a double portion. And first and foremost, notice this. This little maid, the first point here is that little maid. You ever studied that word maid in your Bible? You find some interesting things happening. There is a little maid in this little tiny town in the backside of nowhere by the name of Bethlehem. A little maid, and what happened? That angel came to her and said what? Hail, thou highly favored of the Lord. And what's Mary say? You talking to me? Me? Little maid. See, that's what God does. And I said this last week, but God delights in working in a church like ours, and He delights working in a person like me. A small church and a man like me doesn't have much, right? He delights in working in those situations. And I'm all for the big churches, and I'm all for these big guys, and I'm all for all these things. But I'm just telling you, if you read your Bible, God delights in doing things through the minority, doesn't He? He delights in doing, that's what I want to point out to you this morning. Some of you may think, I'm not very important. I don't have much money. We don't have much going for us. I don't have a lot. Good. That's where God wants you to be. You remember what Paul told the church at Corinth? God doesn't delight in using the wise and highly educated and wealthy and all those things. Now, God still uses those folks. Praise God for them. But I'm just saying that God delights in using somebody like this little maid. Now, she's taken captive, just setting the context here, away from her family. She's basically a slave. And what they did to these little girls, we won't talk about in church because it's not proper. But in the midst of her trials and tribulations, she doesn't sit back, sulk, and sour. What does she do? She looks up and looks at the need of the person who's taken her captive. Now, that's true Christianity, isn't it? Well, in the midst of your problems and trials, most of us, if you're like me, we'll sit back and start listing everything down of what the problems I have. You know, Lord, now you know I have this and this and this and this. And God is saying, well, if you'd get off your pity party and look around, there's people that have better, bigger needs than you do. Now, praise God that this little maid in the state that she was in. By the way, you want to find real joy? Go help somebody else. The problem today in America, and I dare to say this, and please don't shoot me, but the problem today in America with depression and all these other things is people are concentrated on themselves. It's me. It's my problem. Yes, we're not. I'm not diminishing any of that, of what you've gone through. Some of you folks, I know most of you in here, I met with you, I've talked with you. I know what you've gone through. I'm not putting that down at all. I'm just saying that most people today, their problem comes back to, they don't know this book, and this book always points us to other people, doesn't it? Oh, I love this book. By the way, read your book. Stay in the Bible. Read the Bible. Shame on us for not spending time in the Bible this week. We think about this now, the little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. Would God, my Lord, so she's has a God, she has a Lord. She's not ashamed of it. We're with the prophet. For he would recover him of his leprosy. He would do it. You know what that little maid asked? She said, give me a double portion. Her first portion is this. Her first portion is what? Help me, God. I'm enslaved. Help me. They took me away from my mom and dad and family. Help me. They've done things to me. Help me. They're making me serve with rigor, and they're making me sweep and mop the floors like Cinderella. Help me. That's her first portion. What's her second portion? Lord, but help me help someone else. Help me help somebody else around me. When's the last time you've helped somebody? I'm not saying giving the guy $5, although we should do. That's good. On the street corner. We ought to do those things. And we ought to help our kids and our spouses. When's the last time you went out of your way and said, I want to be a blessing to somebody else. And I don't want anything in return. I don't want any payment. I don't want anything. And one of the best things we can be doing that we fail at, myself, I'm preaching to myself, is prayer. We hope people get better. We hope people get away from addiction. We hope our kids turn out well. Stop hoping in things. Start praying. And I don't want good kids. I want godly kids. We're satisfied with good kids. We're satisfied. Well, I hope they're good, committed to helping society. I hope they vote. I hope they stay healthy. I want godly kids. I want godly people. I want to be a godly person, not just a good person. Now, notice this. Her second portion is what? I know of a man that can help you. I know of somebody. America's in a mess today. Our state is in a mess today. We tried. We tried on Tuesday. A mess. And what are we doing? First thing she comes out and says, what does she do? Let's go back and do what we've always been doing. Let's go right back to our same policies. Let's go right back to what we've always been doing. Didn't work last time. Have you driven through Albuquerque lately? We were in there yesterday. I told my wife, I said, praise God for the people ministering in Albuquerque. But I said, I want to go home. I want to go home. I just heard of a fella recently. Someone just told me. He was sitting in a parking lot in Albuquerque waiting for his wife in the store. And they pulled his door open and put a gun to his head and said, get out of the car. This was right, I think it was in the Walmart. I don't know where. The guy had his concealed carry on him, and he went to reach for it. And the guy said, you touch that, I'm going to blow your head off. So he said he got out of the car. They took his car, everything. And the guy lives out here, too, right up the road. I thought about it. I'm just talking about our world's in a mess. Why? Sad to say, it comes back to the church house. We're not praying. We're not reaching. We're not focused. Now, we see here, She says, now I want to do something for somebody else. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. There's people that have the means and ability to give today. I'm not talking just financially, but they have the means and ability, and what do? They don't do anything with it. They don't do anything with it for the Lord, I'm saying, for the Lord. And now notice this. First of all, this little maid. But they go forward, and notice this. This little maid, her word gets all the way to the top, to the king. Let me say again. Don't ever think your little step of faith for Christ is meaningless. Every step you take for Christ in the right direction has an effect. You may not see it now. I don't know if the maid even knew that it got to the king. I don't know that. I hope it did. She doesn't know that. You know, there's individuals in the Bible that they're never given a name. Ever. You read your Bible. Some of you, I hope you're almost done with your annual Bible reading. You're coming down to the end. And you read through these characters in the Bible that are never even given a name. They're never even named. This guy went and did this and that. This lady went and did this and never. And you think about that, man. And I often ask myself, if I'm never known, is that okay? And you know what the voice inside said? No. No. You need to be known. People need to know what you do. And sometimes, Sad, I'll only pass out these gospel tracts if people notice, you know. Anybody watching? Anybody looking? Anybody there? I want to say that. And she says, listen, don't ever think that what you do for Christ, just you getting up in the morning and opening your Bible and reading it, you may have something or someone watching. The dog watches sometimes, you know, just sits there. I'm like, what are you staring at? They don't move, you know. They just stare. There's somebody watching. There's kids. There's somebody. I mean, you got to get so habitual about it that they call and say, I wonder if daddy's awake this morning. Oh, yeah, it's early. He's awake. He's reading his Bible. Oh, yeah, mama's awake. Yeah, I know what she's doing. I know what she's praying. I know. And that's what it comes back to. Her step of faith was very important. Her step of faith. And some of us need to step up in our step of faith. We need to step up and say, you know, I haven't done a lot for God lately. I haven't done a lot for the Lord lately. But we can be, we should be doing more for the Lord. Amen. We need to be. And woe to be to us as Christians who sit back, sulk, and sour and don't do much for the Lord. We need to be active for the Lord. And the very least you can do, by the way, is show up to church. I mean, that's the very least. The very least we can do is spend time in the Bible. The very least we can do is invite someone to the church or share the gospel, especially. Now this word gets to the king. Now the king represents the unspiritual person. And guess what he does? When somebody comes and says, hey, could you help me? What does he do? What's this? It's not my problem. Well, what do they want from us? Why do they, he's just wanting to come and he's trying to spy on us and he's trying to become get someone in, infiltrate our, all the things he talks about. Look at that negative. Who am I? What am I? God? Notice the blasphemous words he uses. Am I God? No right-minded, half-hearted believer would ever say something like that. This man is an unsaved, ungodly person. And again, be careful what we say. Be very careful the words we use. Be very careful. The other day, I said it again. I did something. It wasn't specifically a curse word, but it was close to it. And I said, and sure enough, here comes my three-year-old saying the same word. Doo-doo-doo-doo. And she was making it into something happy, you know. And I said, don't say that. Mama, did Mama hear that? Don't say that. What'd she say? I said, oh, nothing. We're just kidding around. All right. I thought about, be careful what we say. Be careful how you say it. And again, as we talked about on Wednesday night and what Jesus did for us and how everything needs to be to His glory. And then we talked about on Sunday night about using discernment. And one of the questions we ask when we try to discern something is this. Does it bring glory to God? And will He be pleased with it? And how will it be when I stand before Him at the judgment? If you're like me, I like to spout off a lot of things that are prejudiced sometimes, some things that aren't very nice, some even blasphemous things. And we don't mean to say it, so it just comes out sometimes, right? Be very careful. He says, am I God, you coward? Am I God to kill and make alive? This man, you know why he said, am I God? Because he's never seen God work in his life. Not one time. Never seen Him work. Never known God in his life. Am I God to kill and make alive? What is he doing? He's come what? To seek a quarrel against me. Verse 8. Elisha heard it. What did he say? Now when the king rent his clothes, everybody knew about it. Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? come now to me. He shall, underline this, know that there is a prophet in Israel. And listen, our church may never take off. We may never become, get up into the hundreds or thousands. But I pray to God, and I try to pray this often, that this little community would know there's a church here. They would know there's a house of God. They would know there's a prophet of God in this place. They would know there are godly people that serve God and are serious about their faith. They're not half-hearted, weak Christians. They're not here little Sunday morning only Christians and then go out and live their life the way they want to. No, they would know that there's a prophet in Israel. That they would know that there's a daddy in this house that loves and prays for the kids. They would know there's a mama. They'd know there's grandparents that seek the Lord daily for the grandchildren. They would know. They would know. I like that. Do people know who you are? Do people know you're a Christian? Do people know it? Do people know? We have some folks in our church, and praise God for them, unashamed for Christ. They sit down at the lunch table at work and pray. That's all they do. They just bow their head and pray. And guess what happens? They get in trouble. They get in trouble. You can't do that here. But if a Muslim says, I need to have a certain time during the day to bow to the east, they have to give it to them. And they don't say nothing, else they get into trouble. I'm just saying, do they know? Do people know? There's some change happening in your life. There's something going on. And so we go forward here. Verse 9, Naaman came. Notice that. With his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Notice he doesn't even go. And he says what? Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought, he surely come out to me at least and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now notice that. Now Elisha is not being rude. We must understand this. He's not being rude. I ain't got time for this guy. Tell him to go wash in the thing 7 times, whatever. That's not what he's doing. He's testing him. He's testing him. Now, this is what the Lord does to us. You ever noticed it in the New Testament gospel accounts? Jesus answers questions with questions. I like that. Go all the way back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden. God comes down in the cool of the evening, walks in the garden and says what? Adam, Eve, where are you? Does he know where they are? Absolutely. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all powerful. He knows everything. What was he doing? He was getting Adam to notice or acknowledge or recognize where he was. That's the first step in our gospel, isn't it? Acknowledging that we're a sinner, we're in need of Christ. And we come to the New Testament and Jesus answers questions with questions. He asks the woman at the well, right? Are you married? Yeah. He asks other people throughout the scriptures, but I don't have time for that. Okay. You see it, no. He's not being rude, he's not being mean, he's not being standoffish. He's testing him to see if he'll do what he told him to do. And Naaman says, how dare he not acknowledge who I am? I thought that he'd come out and do a big pomp and circumstance and do all this dance and sprinkle some dust on me and spit in my eyes, or I don't know what he was hoping to do, and do all these things. Big show. Big show. We have to be careful because that's what unspiritual people or unsaved people think. No, we just follow the book. I want to know, and I've talked to people before, you know, I want to, oh, if there's a blood moon out, then I know it's God's will, you know. If I see 3 shooting stars tonight, I know God answered. No. Read the book. See, this is how God speaks to us in this dispensation in which we live. Hebrews chapter 1. In these times, what times? The times we're living in now. The time from the cross up until this date. He's spoken to us by his capital S-O-N, Son. Who is the Son? The Son, John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1, is what? The Word incarnate. It's the Bible. Do we neglect the Son? Yes, I do. I thought you'd come out and do something great, grand. And Elisha says, no, just go wash. Verse 12, are not Abanon, Pharpar, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. Again, let me say this. An unspiritual person cannot discern the Word of God, the will of God, or the way of God. They think they're spiritual, but they're not. They can't discern it. Why? Because discernment comes from the book, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You have an intention to do something? Check the word first. Hey, I think we should we make this big decision? Better check the word. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? And we think about that. Now, are not where I'm from much better? See the prejudice? What if you were in their shoes? I'm not for some of these things, but I mean, what if you had three little kids and you had to cross the Rio Grande? Why? To come get a better life. I mean, what about some of those things you think about? And you think coming back through this, he says, now, are not these things better? I wash in them, be clean. He turned and went away in a rage. And I love his servants. Verse 13. His servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do something great, wouldst not thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith, wash and be clean? Now, these fellows had what we call around here horse sense. They had enough horse sense about them. And you can learn something from anybody. I'm telling you. I have little kids. I cannot tell you how many things I've learned from them. I mean, I got a 2-year-old. I've learned so much from. I mean, amazing. The other day, I was summoned to the back bedroom. And I came home for lunch. And I was summoned. And I had a 2-year-old and my 4-year-old. And they said, Daddy, could you sit down? I said, sure. They said, now you're going to get married. I said, oh, I am? Great. I said, honey, can we wrap this up here? And sure enough, she has about a 4-foot, who's the girl with long hair? Rapunzel, thank you. And the thing's creepy. I mean, it's like a 4-footer with big eyes. And she had it the other day sitting in her room, and I walked in the dark, and I said, what are you doing out of bed? Oh, what the, you know, creep me out. Anyways, I was getting married to Rapunzel. And where the story's going, I don't know. And sure enough, they sat me down and they buttoned up my shirt. And I had dirt on me and I was kind of dirty. But they cleaned me up, dusted me off. And they started to put some makeup on me, just pretend. And I said, don't be doing none of that. Have you ever gotten glitter on your face? You can't get it off. I hate glitter. I hate it. It's one of my nightmares. And they had all this stuff. I don't know where this is going. And they had all this stuff going. And I started to learn some stuff from those kids, man. She told me, now, Daddy, you know this, a man can't marry a man. I said, good, honey, good. A boy has to marry a girl. I said, good, okay, good. And she went through the whole ceremony, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And the 2-year-old is still learning how to talk, so she just mumbles along. And I thought about that. You know, you can learn something from anybody. I didn't know some things about the wedding. I had forgotten some of those things. You can learn something from anybody. And his servant said, why don't you just go wash in the river, man? He's not asking you to do anything special. If he would have asked you to go up on the mountaintop and stand on your head and start spinning plates on your hands and feet, I mean, would you have done that? Oh, absolutely. He's asking you to go down and do something. Now, this brings back a lot of instances in the Bible. You remember when Saul, at the time, his name would later be changed to Paul. You remember that in Acts chapter 9? The bright light shines down. He says, what would you have me to do, Lord? Or who art thou, Lord? First question. Second question is, what would you have me to do? Now, Paul would later go on, unbeknownst to him, would later go on to become the greatest missionary to probably ever live and see more churches planted and probably win more people to Christ that ever lived in human history. Now, when we get to heaven, there'll probably be other people that we never knew about, like the little maid. But God doesn't tell him all of that, does he, in that moment? What does he tell him to do? Get up and go into the city, and then I'll tell you what to do from there. Now, if Paul knew about all that was going to happen, do you think he would have done that? No. Me? You know, God only gives us a little bit up front. And people have a problem with one thing in their lives, and it's something called due time. The Bible talks about due time. That's God's timing. See, we don't have a problem trusting God and following God. The problem is his timing. I get upset at. Do you? Hey, Lord, can I go ahead and get that? He says, yeah. But can I do it like today or tomorrow or when? He says, no, probably about 12 years from now. Duh. Can we get this done, Lord? Do you think we could add about a 10,000 square foot on the back of this building? He says, oh, sure, yeah. When? 25 years from now, if you're still alive, you know. No, I'm kidding. You think about it, due timing. And he said, well, why don't you just go wash in the river? And I'm just telling you this morning, some of us, if you're like me, we often look for those things. We look for the big exploits. We look for the big, hey, Lord, if you want to use me to preach to 10,000 people, you know, I'm available. Anytime. He says, no. Why don't you be faithful right here? Lord, if you want me to lead thousands to Christ, I am available. He says, no. Why don't you start with your kids?
Okay.
Lord, if you want us to, why don't you start just reading your Bible? Why don't you just get up and start getting into a habit of spending time with the Lord? Why don't you follow, and this is what Jesus says, the first steps of your faith. The first steps. You remember the rich young ruler came to Christ, and I must hasten here. And what did he say? He had his fur coat on, gold chains, leather. You remember the story? And he says in front of everybody, Lord, I would like to follow you. Everyone went, wow, wow. For him, wealthy and has all this potential to follow Christ. And the Lord says, great, I'd love to have you. And he turns to walk away and he goes, oh, one thing. Yes, Lord, go home and sell all that you have and then come back and follow me. And I mean, his eyes got this big, you know, jaw dropped. And the Bible says one of the most tragic statements in all the Bible. It doesn't say that he said, you know what? You're right, Lord. I will. What's it say? It says he turned around like a coward and walked away from Christ sorrowful and sad and disappointed. And Jesus points to that man, points to his back because he's walking away from him and says what? You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot straddle the fence. You make a commitment right now, you're going to follow Christ no matter the cost. And a great Sermon on the Mount emphasizes that. And he says, I'll take and liken the man who built his house on a rock. He actually dug footings, poured the slab, did all of the right things. He's like what? A man that heard the word and applied the word. A man who went and built his house on the sand with no foundation as a man who heard the word and disregarded it. I hear the word, I read the word, but I never do anything with the word. We follow the Lord. You and I follow and do what we're supposed to do. By the way, it's not very hard to follow Christ. He doesn't expect much out of you. He doesn't require much out of you. I should say better. He really doesn't. And the apostles came to Jesus one day and said, Lord, what's in it for us? And Peter pipes up and says, Lord, we've left all and followed you. What do we get? And the Lord looks at him in his tremendous humility, mercy, and grace when he could have let it, I mean, just let him have it, and said what? Not only do you have eternal life waiting for you, but now all that you have. Now, he didn't understand that at the moment. Later on, he would. And we know he did, Peter, because he ended up being crucified upside down for the Lord's sake. Now, understanding this. And they said, Lord, why don't you go and do what he asked you to do? It's not a big deal. In verse 14, and we'll wrap it up here. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times. When you read the Bible, you got to use your imagination. Don't just read through it. I have the girls sometimes act it out for me. Read a verse and then act it out. They don't like doing that. They get embarrassed. But you think about this guy dipped the first time. I knew it. Do it again, sir. I don't want to. Okay, does it again. Yeah. I told you it wouldn't work. Do it. Come on, sir. Do it seven. Just do it. All right, fine. You know. Does it again. And he's going, this ain't working. I look like a fool. I look like a fool out here, you know. Here he comes up that seventh time. I told you what. It worked. It worked. Notice what it says, verse 14. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I don't know about you, but in that moment, you know who he thought of immediately? That little maid. Praise God for somebody. And you may not get a lot of acknowledgement and recognition right now, but one day your kids are going to go, thank God. One day somebody's going to say, thank God. And now it may be at your funeral, but thank God. Thank God for Pastor Tim. Thank God. Thank God for these folks that are so faithful, serving Lord. And each time he dipped, it could represent maybe a decade of your life. Just being faithful to God. Man, it's not easy being faithful to the Lord, is it? It's tough. It is tough. It's like pulling teeth sometimes. It's tough. And it's hard. Every day you get up. Every day you're committed to Christ. Every day you stay faithful in your marriage. Every day you stay faithful to your kids and helping and praying for them. I'm just saying, he was committed to this and he went ahead and did it and he came up clean. What a wonderful picture for us. One day soon. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know about you. One day soon. If he doesn't, we'll all breathe our last breath on this earth and we will be with Christ forever. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, the Bible says. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? And we sing a song often about that. Only when life will soon be past and only what's done for Christ will last. Only what we did for Christ on this earth is what's going to be important. Only what we've done. And I want to encourage you today, as you think about that, Lord, give me a double portion. Lord, give me more than I've been praying for. Forgive me. As I said last week, that man had a dream and he went to heaven and he walked around and God showed him everything and showed him his mansion and showed him all the pearly gates and the streets of gold and everything else. And finally comes back to his mansion, has a little red door in the back of his house. He said, Lord, what is that? He said, well, go on and look. And inside is everything that he wanted, everything he desired. And he said, those are all the things I would have given you, but you just didn't ask for. Again, I'm not advocating we just pray and ask God like he's a genie and give us everything we want. We're praying according to his will, right? And as that man knelt down, one man in a dark garden with the crickets chirping, a clear sky, you could hear a man whispering in a garden, bent over, and he made this statement, he said, Lord, if this cup, nevertheless not. What was in the cup? The cup of suffering. I said Wednesday night, Jesus Christ on the cross is the seriousness and the vileness of our sin. That's the picture of it. That's how sobering it is to think about. My friends, today I'll end with this. Have you asked God for a double portion? Lord, give me more than that. Lord, I'd like to see more done for you, but I don't know how. Help me. Give me a double portion of thy Holy Spirit. Give me a double portion of thy word. Speak to me through thy word. Speak to me through thy spirit. Help me and guide me. Listen, folks, the Bible is very clear that in the latter days, not so much eschatologically speaking, end times, but more of your life, the latter part of your life, some of you are in your latter half or latter quarter, maybe some others in here younger, you ought to become more faithful. You ought to be doing more for the Lord. And Peter makes it very clear and he says, after you've lived your life, he says what? You should now live the rest of your time, he uses that phrase, the rest of your time, not for yourself, for him, for the will of God, he says. And I want to encourage you with that. Make sure you're serving the Lord today. In those latter days, we know not the hour when we'll stand before Christ. It could be tonight, it could be this week, it could be years from now. Are you ready for that day? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? The most important question ever asked to me. Tim, do you know the Lord as your Savior? And I said, no, I don't. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? If you will, I'd love to take about 10 minutes of your time right after the service and show you how to be saved. That's the first step. Most of you in here know Him, and I'm praising God for that. Are you serving Him? If you are, ask Him for a double portion. I so often ask Him for so many other things, but more of Him. We need more of Him, don't we? More about Jesus. Would I know? More of His saving grace. We know that song, don't we? More of Him, more of Him, more of Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You for those listening today. I hope something said was a help and a blessing. For me especially, Lord, how I need this, I thank You for convicting my own heart. I pray You'd help us, Lord, in these days we live. And Lord, we think about that one day soon we'll stand before You. Help us to do more for You in this time, maybe in the latter part of our lives, than we've ever done before. And I pray for Your help to do that. Help us to ask for a double portion as Elisha did. He could have asked for anything, really, and I'm sure it would have been given to him. But he said, give me more. I want more. I pray You'd help us, Lord, today. Thank You for those here in service today, making church a priority. We pray that You'd bless us, guide us the rest of our day and then into the next week. Pray You'd protect all of us, direct us, be with our marriages. Father, strengthen those. May we commit those to You. Help our children. We plead for their salvation, our grandchildren, others. Lord, You'd work in a mighty way. Help us, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.